every year during this time of year, Rav Asher Weiss mentions to me the comment of the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Maseches Parah. And he is unique in the fact that he actually learned this Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Maseches Parah. Most of us have never even gotten around to it, but it's a surprising comment when he talks about one who goes into the mikveh. So Parah is a Masechta that talks all about Parah Aduma and Tumah and Tahara. And there the Rambam makes a very unusual comment. Hine, he says, Ein hevdel bein ish shelo nitma me'olam b'meis. There is no difference, says the Rambam, between somebody who never became tamei, who never came in contact with a dead body throughout their lives, ubein ish asher nitma kol yamav v'achar kach taval v'hiza. Somebody who did become impure, somebody who did come in contact with a dead body, and then ultimately went to the mikvah and did the process as he was supposed to. Says the Rambam, now that they're both tahor, they are the same. However, he adds, Ela shezeh asher huza alav. This person who was tamei originally and then became tahor by going to the mikvah, he is yoser gadol hamadrega b'tahara. The Rambam surprisingly says, he becomes more pure than the one who spent an entire life never being defiled in the first place. That is the comment of the Rambam, which is a very surprising comment and very hard to understand. So the Rambam basically says that somebody who went through the process of purification ends up being more pure than the person who spent their entire life never becoming defiled at all. And this, Rav Asher Weiss extends to say that the same way the Rambam understands this to be the case by Tumah and Tahara, by that kind of impurity, so too he says it is with regard to Tumas HaNefesh, to a person who lives life and does some kind of Avera and commits some kind of crime and ultimately does Tshuva. So Rav Asher Weiss says that based on this Rambam you would have the position that he who now becomes a Baal Tshuva is greater than the person who never went through the challenge and never failed in the first place. And that really is expressed in the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Dalet, where the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abahu, b'makom shebalei tshuva omdim, tzadikim gemurim einam omdim. In the place that the Ribono Shel Olam has carved out for a Baal Tshuva, for somebody who takes the opportunity of tshuva seriously and really repents for the mistakes that they've made, that is a special place, a special portion in Olam Abba that is not even reserved for a tzadik gomer who never did an Avera at all. And in fact, the Rambam himself quotes that psak lahalacha. The Rambam writes that is the halacha. Somebody who is considered to be a Baal Tshuva is one who is greater than somebody who is a tzadik gomer who never made the mistake in the first place. And Rav Asher Weiss said, perhaps this is the Rambam lishitasa, that he believes somebody who goes through the process of tshuva ends up being considered more wholesome and more refined than somebody who never made a mistake at all. Rashi on Chumash actually makes a very similar comment. We're told in the very beginning of Chumash by the story of Rivka, Rivka bas Besuel ha'arami mipadan aram, achos lavan ha'arami lo le'isha. Yitzchak marries a woman who is from a community named Padan Aram. She has a father whose name is Besuel, and her brother is a big Rasha, a infamous person by the name of Lavan ha'arami. Says Rashi, when we are introduced to Rivka, why do we need all of the details of her life? Why does it say she comes from Padan Aram, and she has a father whose name is Besuel, and a brother whose name is Lavan? Why is that relevant to the story? And the answer, says Rashi, is Lahagid Shivcha. This is to tell us the greatness of Rivka. Shahaisa Bas Rasha, she was the daughter of an evil man, she was the sister of an evil person, and everything she had experienced in her life was wrong, and everything was terrible. And yet, even though she comes from a place where Mekomo Anshe Rasha, Lo lamda mima aseim, she overcame it, and she was able to surmount all of those challenges, and therefore Rivka is considered to be even greater. So the Chiddush HaRim has an amazing comment in a Sefer on Chumash. I saw it a number of years ago. You will notice the Gemara Maseches Zvachim, for those who learned it in the Daf Yomi a year ago, you are familiar with the fact that we have some karbanos that are karban chatos and others that are a karban ola. So karban ola is when you bring a karban, it is kulo laHashem. It is offered completely to the Ribono Shel Olam. You put it on the Mizbeach, and it is burnt entirely as a karban. A karban chatas also has to be brought onto the Mizbeach, but a karban chatas comes when somebody does some kind of avera. Somebody commits a crime, and for that they need to bring a karban chatas to atone for that sin, to atone for that mistake. Now one will notice, the Mishnah writes very clearly in Zvachim, there is a difference between how you have to offer the chatas on the Mizbeach and how you offer the carbon ola. A carbon chatos, the Gemara says, you sprinkle its blood lemala, on the top, on the upper half of the mizbeach. A carbon ola, on the other hand, you sprinkle its blood lemata. Says the Chiddush HaAriyim, that is not just gzeiras hakasav, that is not just coincidental. There is a reason behind that, because he says a carbon chatos highlights the experience that a person has when they go through a challenge and they fail, and they ultimately come back and they realize there's an opportunity for tshuva. I can bring a carbon chatos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept it. That belongs at the top of the Mizbeach. That is more elevated than anything else. And therefore, says the Chiddush HaAriyim, it is not coincidental that the carbon ola, its blood, it is holy obviously, but its blood is sprinkled on the bottom of the Mizbeach, whereas a carbon chatos we sprinkle particularly on the top of the Mizbeach. And based on this, there's a beautiful drasha of the Ksav Sofer where he writes, you know, we're familiar, the Gemara says in Meseches Menachos, that when Rabbi Akiva used to learn Torah, he had a way of studying Torah that nobody else ever experienced before, and nobody else after him, as far as we know, had that either. So the Gemara says, Hayadorish al kol kotz v'kotz, tile tilem shel halachos. The Gemara has the famous statement that when Rabbi Akiva used to study Torah, when he taught his Talmidim, his study of Torah was so detailed, was so thorough, it was so intricate, that every single kotz, every little dot in the Sefer Torah, he had some hidden meaning that he found in that demarcation that was in the Sefer Torah. So the Ksav Sefer asks, why is it that Rabbi Akiva was the one who was able to have this deep appreciation, this tremendous sense of understanding of Torah, whereas all the other great Talmidei Chachamim, many Tanaim and Amoraim and Moshe Rabbeinu himself, the Gemara says, he watches how Rabbi Akiva is giving this incredible shiur, and Moshe Rabbeinu feels almost that he's not as good as Rabbi Akiva. And he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe you should give the Torah to Rabbi Akiva, he's greater than I am. So why is it that Rabbi Akiva has this opportunity, whereas nobody else is able to have these tremendous insights, this meticulous and thorough understanding of Torah? And more than that, the Gemara says in Sota Daf Memtes, the very last daf in the Masechta, the Gemara there says that when Rabbi Akiva died, but lo kavod haTorah. Rashi says, why? Because the way that he showed such honor, such dignity to every letter, every ounce, every word of Torah, that shows what a kavod haTorah is all about. And when Rabbi Akiva died, that was lost. So why is it that Rabbi Akiva had this and no one else? Explains the Ksav Sofer, the reason why is because we're told in Chazal that Rabbi Akiva's upbringing was one where he did not have the values of Talmud Torah. And he overcame the original life that he was living, and he was a person who did not live by the values that many of the Tanaim had as they grew up. And therefore, after Rabbi Akiva was able to overcome all of that, and he came to an understanding, he was a Baal Tshuva, and he came to an understanding of what Torah is, he had such a deep appreciation, he had such a deep recognition, he had such an admiration for what Torah was all about, because it was something that he came to on his own. And therefore, because of that, because he had to go and surmount all of those problems before he made it to become the great Rabbi Akiva, that's why his appreciation for every letter of Torah was greater than any other of the Tanaim. He had so much that he had to overcome. And that is exactly what the Ksav Sofer explains. That is exactly what the Gemara says, B'makam shebali tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yicholim lamod. So in Parshas Vayikra, we are introduced to the carbon chatos. And there, when the Torah introduces us to that carbon, we are told, asher nasi yechata, which simply translated means, when you will have a situation, when a leader of a community will do something wrong, so we have an opportunity for him to figure out how to make up for that mistake. And he can bring a carbon chatos, a parhelim davar shel tzibur. The Gemara says there are a bunch of options of how you can figure out how to reconcile a mistake that was made either on a communal level or on a personal level. And the Gemara says in Horios, asher nasi yechata, maybe there's a hidden meaning to that as well, and it means ashrei. Asher doesn't mean when. Asher means ashrei. Praised is the dar shehanasi shalo. Praised is a generation where its leader makes a mistake. Really? Praised is a generation, my father always told me. Why do we praise a generation whose leader makes a mistake? Wouldn't it be better if we lived in a generation where the leader does not make a mistake at all? And he said the answer is because a leader who is sincere enough and humble enough to admit to the fact that he made a mistake, and the fact that he's going to overcome that obstacle and that mistake that he made. And as embarrassing as it is, he's willing to come forth and learn from the mistake to make sure that it doesn't happen again. On that, the Gemara says, Asher Nasi Yechata, lucky, praised is a generation where you have a leader of that type, a leader who's able to be so honest and so sincere and appreciate that, yes, the Ribbono Shel Olam does give us second chances, but I just need to take advantage of that opportunity. I need to appreciate how worthwhile that is and how lucky I am that the Ribbono Shel Olam has allowed me to be involved in such a process of tshuva. And if I take that seriously, if I really understand what that gift is all about, then I will be greater than somebody who never made the mistake at all. Like the comment that the Rambam writes in Maseches Parah, somebody who went to the mikveh is considered to be more tahar, more pure, than somebody who never became defiled in the first place. A startling comment, but that's what the Rambam says. And perhaps this is the illusion. The problem with all this is, we have in Shulchan Aruch a number of recommendations that the Rama says for somebody who's going to serve as a shliach tzibur on the Yamim Noraim. And this is a very problematic Rama. I don't say problematic because I have an issue with it. It's a problematic Rama because sometimes it's hard to fill all of those qualifications. So the Rama says the person should be 30 years old, he should have a beard, the person should be married, he should also, the Rama says, have a nice voice. Let's not forget about that. The Rama says he also has to know how to daven for the yamid. So my father told me many years ago, I was single at the time, and something happened a week before Rosh Hashanah. I don't know what it was, but in YU, it was the first year I came to YU, they had a problem that the Baal Tefila wasn't going to daven that year, and it was only a week before Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Willig called me in one day, and he says, this year, you're going to be the Chazan Yom Noraim. And I said to him, I'm 23 years old. I don't know, first of all, I don't know how to daven for the Yamid. I've never tried it. And second of all, I said, I'm not married, I don't have a beard, and I am less than 30. So he said, so go talk to your father, ask him. You know, ask him what he thinks. So I spoke to my father about it, and he said, when the Rama says all these qualifications, the only one thing I did have is that I'm a Ben Tzaddik. That's the only thing the Rama says. He should also be a son of a great person. So I had one thing going for me, but everything else I did not qualify. So my father said, it's true. The Rama says you're supposed to have a bunch of qualifications to serve as the Chazan on Yom Noraim. However, my father said, the most important thing is that you know how to daven for the Yamid. If you know how to daven for the Yamid, and you are a better choice than the other candidates who do have those qualifications, then obviously all of them go by the wayside and will take the one who's a better chazan than the one who might have all those qualifications. Those are all lichatchila. You should try to choose somebody who has all. Now, unfortunately, none of us are perfect. We don't have all the great qualifications. Anyway, one of the things that Rama writes there is that we should try to choose somebody who is the child of a great tzaddik, the child of a great Talmud Chacham, to serve as the chazan. Where do we have such a concept from? So we learn that from a Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, Daf Samach Dalet. There we are taken back to a story in Parshas Toldos, and as we're all familiar, Vayetar Yitzchak Lenochach Ishto Ki Akarahi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the prayers of both Yitzchak and Rivka. Both of them are davening. Rivka's in Akara. Life is very difficult. Vayeaser Lo Hashem Vatar Rivka Ishto. So we're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillah of Yitzchak Avinu, and he somewhat ignores, he overlooks the tefillah of Rivka Imenu. Why? You don't think a woman who doesn't have children, you don't think she's in pain, you don't think she's crying, you don't think her tefillah is heartfelt? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept Yitzchak's and overlook the tefillah of Rivka? Says Rashi on Chumash, Vayeater Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to the tefillah of Yitzchak because She'ein Adomet Tefillah Tzadik Ben Tzadik, the Tfilas Tzadik Ben Rasha. Somebody who is the child of a great person has the opportunity to have their tefillah answered more readily, more quickly than somebody who is a Tzadik Ben Rasha. So although Rivka was a great woman, we assume that Yitzchak's tefillah was more powerful because he was davening and he had also Avraham Avinu behind him, and therefore his tefillah was answered as opposed to his wife Rivka, which seems to be a contradiction to everything we mentioned. How do you deal with that Gemara? How do you understand when the Gemara says a Tzadik ben Tzadik is greater than a Tzadik ben Rasha, when at the same time, another Gemara says that a Baal Tshuva is somebody who has overcome so many challenges and is ultimately considered to be greater than somebody who was a Tzadik Gomer in the first place? How do you understand that? I consider this a major question. I think it's a very good question. I've yet to find a sufficient answer. The Tur tries to answer it. I don't quite understand what he's saying, but there are many who discuss this question. I think the question really needs to be considered. How do you understand how to reconcile all of these different Gemaras? On the one hand, we have many sources that tell us a Baal Tshuva who has overcome tremendous challenge, who has made mistakes, and now is in a better place, is considered to be greater than somebody who never made a mistake at all. And yet, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts more eagerly, he accepts the tefillah of somebody who is a Tzaddik ben Tzaddik versus somebody who might be a Tzaddik ben Rasha. Just something to think about. Maybe we'll continue on that point tomorrow.